I have said it already. I couldn't wait to be back among you. I couldn't wait to be in this place that is familiar and yet each and every Sunday new. And it is new because we come from weeks of joy or weeks of toil. We come with new prayers and new needs and new people. We come and it is familiar and it is new, and we give thanks. We give thanks even when our hearts are broken. We give thanks when there's joy. We give thanks and we do it together. For on the Sunday when one person is not able to rise above and give thanks, then someone next to them has enough to pour out and nourish them, to even give thanks for them. That's why we have to gather in community, because it is hard sometimes to give thanks. That's why when I read Paul's word, I'm a little surprised. Give thanks in every situation? Are you sure about that, Paul? In every situation? So how do you give thanks for dirty dishes? How do you give thanks for a child who won't help you with the dirty dishes? How about property taxes? How about endless commercials for political seasons? Paul, you said in every situation, do you give thanks for a boss who asks you for a report done over the third time? Give thanks for an alarm clock that wakes you up when you've been up all night anyway? Yes, I was glad to come back. I was glad because there's a way that I need your help. I need your help in understanding what in the world Paul is talking about. Rejoice. Give thanks. How can you give thanks? Because that means you had something to eat. How can you give thanks? Because your child is at home and you're not worried if they're safe. How? That means you have a house to pay property tax on. How do you give thanks? Means we live in a country where democracy is still the way. And we have power. We have votes. How do you give thanks in these situations? If you have a boss who's harassing you, it means you have a job. And if you heard the alarm clock, if it's time to get up, it means God has given you another day, another opportunity to stand and to hold forth, another opportunity to receive God's grace and God's love, another opportunity to stand and tell the world what it is to be a child of God, another opportunity to breathe in and to move. Give thanks in every situation. Paul may be on to something. When I was traveling, there was a church. They had 20 members. Give thanks? Yes, because it was up from 11 7 months ago. There was a church that didn't have enough money to fix their steps. Give thanks? Yes, because there was another church who needed to rent a room, and they had no money to rent a room, but they had a master mason in their church. And so they came together and they gave thanks that each had what the other need. Give thanks in a neighborhood that necessitates a pastor carrying a gun? I was there. They call him Reverend Revolver. No joke. But here's what happened. We were standing waiting to go in. This church may worship 80, 90 people on Sunday, but every Wednesday night they feed 150 people. Literally, in the line, there was a young man, Anthony. He told me, up until 6 weeks ago, I was a male prostitute. In the line was a woman with two children whose husband had been shot and killed. She couldn't feed her children. In the line was a grandmother who had cooked all day and brought food to the event, but wanted to stand in line with everybody else. Frankly, she was nosy and she was getting the gossip. She told me this. And I said to her, Miss Noni, you're supposed to pray, not gossip. But as we were coming around the line, there was a kerfuffle. Two young bucks had bared their chests, kind of looking at one another. And this pastor, who's only about this tall, as we were headed down toward the kerfuffle, Anthony said, "Here come Reverend Revolver, here come Reverend Revolver." And the two young men who were like this stood back. They said, "You know, Rev, we're good, we're good, we're good." He said, "I know you're good because I got my friend." And there it was. Right? Scared the daylights out of me. But as we walked back to the front of the church, here's what Anthony said to me. "I'm grateful because not all of these streets are safe. And I'm grateful because I can come here and I know nothing is going to happen. I am not a proponent of guns. I am not. But in that moment, I watched this young pastor make safe a space for 150 people. And we don't know if they had been loved or fed or cared for. But when they walked into that church, they were served. They were kept thankful in every situation. And that church that I was mentioning earlier, wondered if their pastor was scholarly enough, but they gave thanks because her passion came forward. And as I said, they said to me, "You can't have her because we've had scholarly pastors and we didn't know if they loved the Lord. We have no question about this one." Give thanks in every situation. Do you know that though Thanksgiving is lifted up as that holiday that we celebrate because the pilgrims came, that its formal declaration was in 1863. The history buffs in this room will know that the Civil War began in 1861 and went to 1865. So in 1863, in the middle of a war that would claim 750,000 lives, in the middle of a war that claimed more lives than all of the U.S. wars combined, here's what Abraham Lincoln said: "In the midst of a civil war of unequal magnitude and severity, needful diversions of wealth and strength have not arrested the plow and the shuttle of the ship, the axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, in the siege, and in the battlefield. No human counsel hath devised, nor any mortal hand worked out these great things. These are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed," he said, the president said, "to me fit and proper that these mercies should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, in the middle of a war when we were killing one another, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Beloved, in each of these situations, there's something extraordinary going on. When we think about being grateful in the midst of a civil war, it's very hard to be grateful for. In the midst of those circumstances with the churches, it's hard to be grateful for. But I want you to know that in that text you heard Elaine read, God didn't ask us through the Apostle Paul to be grateful for. He asked us to be grateful in. You see, there are circumstances that I don't know how to be grateful for. I don't know how to be grateful for the death of my brother Bruce, but I can be grateful in the fact that he lived 80 years and moved in this place. I can be grateful in the knowledge that he loved his Lord and I believe I know where he is. I can be grateful in the circumstance while not being grateful for the circumstance. We have to understand that in the circumstance, God is still God. In the circumstance, it is not the end of our days. In the circumstance, it does not define the fullness of my life. in the circumstance, we are still children of God, and children who have access to this God who has made promises. It's not about being grateful for the things I cannot be grateful for, but it is about being grateful in a moment when I realize this is difficult, but God, you are still God. In a moment when I realize I don't have the answers, but I get to look out into a community of faith who stands with me. In a moment when I am frightened, but one of you will come and comfort me. In a moment when I don't know what to do next, but someone will say, come and walk with me. I don't have to be grateful for, but I can be grateful in. And I think that's what Paul was talking to the people in Thessaloniki about. Paul writes this letter to the church at Thessaloniki, and it's a small church. It's the first church Paul ever founded. It's not large and rich and diverse like Rome. It's not set aside in a safe area like Philippi. No, Thessaloniki is at the crossroads of a trading route where all sorts of people are always traveling. Thessaloniki is made up of the weak and the least in Thessalonia. They are not made up, the church is not made up of the great. And yet Paul says to this band of misfits, this band of folks who have no power, I want you to rejoice always. I want you to pray continuously. I want you to give thanks in every situation. Nero was emperor. Nero is the first emperor who tortured Christians. Nero, it is reported, is the one who ordered the death of Peter and of Paul. Nero is the one who would dip Christians in pitch and make of them human torches in the midst of his reign. Paul says, I want you to give thanks in every situation. Yes. Because even though the Christians were in danger, even though it was difficult, Paul realized that they still had purpose. Paul realized that they still had place. And while Paul may not have recognized that we would still be reading his words to them 2,000 years later, they ring through history as truth and as wisdom. Even when things around us are difficult, as he said to the Thessalonians, give thanks, for Nero is not the end of your story. Even when we struggle with leadership around us, we give thanks because no human being is the end of our story. Even when they were losing what they had gained, Paul would say, rejoice. Why? Because the God who created them was still sovereign. The God who loved them was still on the throne. And their story was wrapped up in Christ's story. That's why this text says at the very end of it, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. It is the capacity of our faith to not be dictated by the ability for us to see. It's the capacity of our faith to be deeper than our circumstances. It's for the capacity of our faith to join us together so that when I am weak, you can be strong with me. When I am fearful, I can come close to you and find your strength so that when I am lost, if you've been where I'm trying to go, you can show me the way not to go, because in your life you made that mistake, but now you will benefit me by your error, because that is what we are called to do, to come and to stand together and to be grateful in the situation because we are not alone. Grateful in difficult times because we are connected. Grateful in hard times because God is our God. Paul wanted them to know to be joyful, to pray, to give thanks. And beloved, the same is true for us. If my mother used to say, if you keep living, you'll run into difficulty. If you keep living, you will find these spaces where tears cloud out your smile. If you keep living, you'll be frustrated and sad. If you keep living, life won't go the way you want. But if you keep living, that circumstance that has blocked you today will not always be there. If you keep trusting, that moment that has broken your heart will find a way to heal. If you keep believing, if you keep trusting, if you keep reaching. And she would always remind us that we never do this alone. That this is about coming together. And that's why Paul is not talking to an individual in Thessaloniki. He's talking to the community. Because he knows in any given moment, someone is going to struggle. But in any given moment, the community as a whole can rise up. Be thankful not for what is happening. Be thankful in the place that you stand. And the place where we stand is in the love and in the will and in the grace of a God who made himself known in flesh and wrapped himself up and said, I love you so much, I will take on all of the sin of the world so that it is not yours to bear. And whenever sin comes close and whenever difficulty comes close and crowds you out, you can be thankful even in that situation because I have overcome anything, anything that can come against you. Beloved, shift your language, not what you're thankful for, but what you're thankful in. What's the circumstance that you're in for which you can be thankful? What's the place that God has put you in that you can be thankful? And when the fours come at us and we can't, we can still say, I am in the love of God. I am in the heart of God. I am in. And I am well. This season, as we go from Thanksgiving into Christmas, four is always outside of us. When I'm thankful for something, it is always the exterior. But when I'm thankful in, it's in me. And the grace of God and the Spirit of God are always in us, and we can be thankful. God, we your sons and daughters gather in this place. It is a time of gratitude and thanksgiving, and we want to be thankful because we are in your presence and in your love. We are in your sight. We are in the palm of your hand. Remind us when difficulty comes that we are not in it alone, but that we are involved with the great cloud of witnesses. And where we are weak, our brothers and our sisters are strong. Where we are weak, because we're in your love, we can remember you are strong. Bless us, our God. That when difficulty comes, we know we are in, and fill our mouths with thanksgiving, for God is here in us. God is here in us. And as our closing hymn says, gracious God, we gather to offer you thanks and praise. Bless us as we go out into the world. That in us is enough to share with those around us. In us is your inexhaustible supply. Bless us, gracious God. Yes, to share in ways we can't even imagine. We pray in your Son's name, in Jesus' name. Amen.